Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure, as always. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Please subscribe to my newsletter when you get there because it's free, and I think you'll like it. I think it'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. I really do. You can join the happy throng of the thousands of subscribers, over 10,000 subscribers that we have to the newsletter. So I hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. And it's easy to do. And if you decide you don't like it at some point in time, you can even unsubscribe yourself. It's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe. All we really need to get you on the list is your name. Well, actually, really just your email. You can tell us the other stuff if you want to. It's up to you. And as you know, we have a very, very simple and very strict privacy policy. What you give us stays with us. Ray Keating is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, chief economist at the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. No organization, pound for pound, does more for small business than the SBE Council. He is also a columnist for Newsday, an outstanding publication. He's the token conservative at that publication in New York, in the New York area. He's the author of Washington by the Numbers, I should say D.C. by the Numbers, D.C. by the Numbers, New York by the Numbers, U.S. by the Numbers, and the soon-to-be-published Galaxy. The Milky Way Galaxy by the Numbers. Ray Keating, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, how are you? Happy to be
great.
Here.
Great. I'm waiting on that Galaxy book.
So they're lining up. Trust me. I'm getting email every day.
But there actually is another one coming out, though. This is on sports, right?
Yes, sports and government. And it's when you have a full-time job plus running a small business, it tends to get pushed to the back burner a bit. But it is moving along.
So. Oh, no. I thought surely it was out by now. Do I sound like your publisher?
Yes, you do.
Sound like you're not getting any sarcasm from your publisher these days, are you, Ray?
And thanks, I really appreciate that.
That's what you say, Jim. I got a publisher. I don't need you.
That's exactly right.
Okay, let's talk a little bit of down and dirty politics right now, just for a minute.
Sure.
What do you make? You've written recently about this whole Port Authority. Folks, as you know, in case you just, you know, came out of a cave, you've been spelunking for the last 2 weeks, you know that there was a British company in charge of half a dozen U.S. ports that has recently been sold to a Dubai company, which is part of the United Arab Emirates, UAE, which is a group of Emirates on the east side of Saudi Arabia. And a place where I have been, by the way, and I've met some of these folks. And this group of people have this Dubai company, all right, and which is owned by the Emir of Dubai, has bought this British company, and they propose to be operating our ports, half a dozen, six or eight or so of these ports. And Ray, has there been a greater furor, a greater bipartisan furor in your memory?
Well, it's tough to think of it, and it, maybe a better question is, has there been such a furor over what I would argue is not much? And
yeah.
I think that's the key point here. And you know, it's also important to remember they would be running certain terminals within those ports, not the entire ports themselves. But I think
gets lost in the rhetoric, doesn't it?
Oh, a lot of things get lost in the political. Yeah. I mean, this is really.
You would think that they were taking over Homeland Security to hear some of the folks, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I think your point is key here, is that they're not responsible for the security at those terminals and those ports. That's still the Coast
Guard.
They're
just doing business in our ports, basically, right?
Exactly. And again, you know, it's I think this. You know, what I wrote in my Newsday column was, you know, we have. There's a reason why the founding fathers gave the president the lead on foreign affairs.
Congress is a little hacked about that too, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, and I think what you wind up getting is when Congress tries to take the lead on this, you get 535 politicians trying to be secretaries of state, and they're scoring political points. And that's what's really going on here. Because I think, again, you got to understand who's controlling the security. It's the Coast Guard, it's the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, other federal agencies. So, you know, that issue again is you have to wonder what's really driving this in terms of Congress and the policy. And it's both sides of the aisle. I think what you have are Democrats taking the opportunity to try to tack to the right of the president on a national security mm-hmm. issue, and then you have a lot of Republicans. And again, you know, I'm not saying all of them have this cynical motive, but a good number of them are using this as an opportunity to declare their independence.
There is no quandary about the chicken or the egg thing from a political standpoint. The Democrats, this is custom made for the Democrats to get to the right of the president on, because it's the kind of thing they can jump all over, and their message is more intuitive than his message is. Then when they go to the right, try to get to the right of the president, it's an election year, folks, and the Republicans have to get more to the right of the president on security. They have to become pretty strong on security on Homeland Security, and so they basically roll the president under the bus. 20 till. We'll be right back with Ray Keating. Stay with us.
With the old man stranded again, so off I'd ran. A young world crashing around me. No possibilities of getting what I need. He looked at me.
Little heart for you there.
Said, no,
Ann Wilson.
No, 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 child.
One of the great voices of rock and roll.
See the dog and
welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Ray Keating is our guest, chief economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Ray, we're talking about the Port Authority. Here's my take on this, Ray. It's pretty simple in a way. I first admit that the idea, the concept, the fact that a member of the Arab world, of the Muslim world, where surely there are Islamic extremists living. In fact, two of the hijackers weren't natives of UAE or of Dubai, but they actually had lived in I guess UAE, maybe Dubai. Two of the 911 terrorists lived there. Knowing all of that, the fact that they would be in charge of part of our ports is unseemly. There's no question about that. It doesn't have a nice ring when on its face. But then you have to think of a couple of other things. Number one, the United Arab Emirates have been some of our best allies against the terrorists. They are more. They're not completely pluralistic over there, but they are more global market friendly. We do business with them, and they allow us to operate our military out of their bases. And one last thing, we needed to be developing allies and building relationships with people in that part of the world, because that's the only real way to fight terror. Now, that's my story.
And you're sticking to it, and you're absolutely right.
Right.
When you look at, and you're right, in terms of the initial reaction, if you want to call it the initial knee-jerk reaction, I think that's, in a post-9/11 world, it's natural that you're going to have a lot of people react that way. And unfortunately, what we've seen are politicians take advantage of that and kind of try to capitalize on it. But I think
this is where we find out who is not an elected representative, but who is a leader.
Right. And
this is where we
right.
find the leadership, isn't it, in this issue?
You're absolutely right, and it is important to recognize what the UAE has done. You know, I quoted General Peter Pace, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, talking about what the United Arab Emirates have done since 9/11 and the war on terror and in terms of the war in Iraq. And they have been great friends. And I think the Wall Street Journal pointed out that,
yep.
you know, these are guys that are now targeted like Tony Blair is targeted
right.
By the terrorists. So they have been a rock-solid ally. When you talk about their market orientation, you're absolutely right there as well. And, you know, we're trying to encourage, I think, greater economic freedom in that part of the world, and the UAE has done that to, you know, not to the greatest, but to a significant extent, and for that part of the world, to a great extent. They rank very well. For example, the Heritage Foundation and the Wall Street Journal, annually they do that 2000, the Index of Economic Freedom, and the UAE always ranks pretty darn well on that, mm-hmm. and certainly much better than most of the other countries in the region.
And you know, Ray, from a long-term global geopolitical perspective, the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, it's Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Sharjah, and I've forgotten, maybe there's some others, I've forgotten the names of those. I've been to all three of those. These are physically located on the eastern shore of Saudi Arabia, on the shore of the Arabian Gulf. But they are part of that peninsula. They're on the peninsula, and they join Saudi Arabia. Ray, I've predicted that Saudi Arabia is one of the future unstable places in the world, one of the most dangerous places in the world. I still believe it is. I think it's a hot spot that hasn't happened yet. And we need to be able to, you know, if that ever does blow up over there, if Saudi Arabia ever blows up, the House of Saud collapses or anything like that, we need to be to have access to that region.
Yeah, and I think your point is well taken, and on many levels, and I think it's important to, you know, the fundamental idea here is to be able to make friends and encourage the more moderate voices over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is such a, I mean, we're seeing what's going on in Iraq right now, and it's such a volatile region. I struggle with why these guys in Congress are pushing this in this way.
It's all about the election in November, right? It's 100%. That's the only issue.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're absolutely right, because there is no other, when you sit down and think about it rationally, you know, there is no other answer for these guys to be out front doing this.
Absolutely. Ray, let's move over and talk about something that's more directly connected to small business. What are you guys working on these days to help small businesses in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, boy, you got A to Z. you know, healthcare issues, it's always a big issue. Taxes, I mean, we got a big
What about the death tax, the estate tax?
Yeah, the death tax, capital gains, dividends, those are all hot-button issues coming up. The death tax, you're going to see a vote, I believe Senator Frist, the majority leader, has said that there's going to be a vote in May on making the repeal of the death tax permanent. We are certainly pushing hard for that. There are a whole
Thank
bunch
you.
Of forces. Oh, you're quite welcome. And there's all sorts of forces at work, unfortunately, to try to, you know, do the compromise on this and to step back from elimination. You know, there's a historic opportunity here to kill an ugly, anti-growth, anti-entrepreneur, anti-family business tax here. And I don't think we want to lose that opportunity by backtracking on it. So that, I think, we're certainly pushing that in a big way. Also, this month, there should be a vote on some tax issues regarding capital gains and dividends.
Which I want you to finish up when we come back after these messages. Then we're going to talk about health care. We're going to find out what the SBE Council is doing for health care. Ray Keating and I will be right back after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Ray Keating. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Ray is Chief Economist with the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. SBECouncil.org is their website, and it's a good one, folks. And as I've said before many times, and I'll keep saying it, pound for pound, the SBE Council is not a big group, but they do more for small business, pound for pound, than anybody that I know of in the world, on the planet. And we really appreciate the hard work that he does, Ray and Karen Kerrigan, the founder and president of that fine organization. Many of you all know Karen, because she actually was one of the very first guests we had on the show way back in '97. Ray, tell us a little bit more about the SBE Council.
Oh, sure. We have about 100,000 members nationwide. Work on public policy issues from A to Z that impact entrepreneurs and small businesses, and we come at it from a free market pro-entrepreneur perspective, and we do everything from research and bringing people up to speed on the issues to getting up on Capitol Hill and having the small business voice heard. So
they do it well too, folks. And I tell you, when the SB Council speaks, especially Ray, as you know, when Karen stands up or when she raises her hand or when they want to know about small business and what small business thinks, needs, and wants, They listen to Karen, don't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, if you go to our website, you'll just see all the, right now, in terms of, you know, what's up there on the front page, you'll see all the things that we work on. You know, there's a, for example, we have a petition up there to stop eminent domain abuse.
Right.
We've got intellectual property issues, health care, taxes. You'll get a real flavor for all the things that we're working on. And, you know, we were just talking about the estate tax, and we're going to get into capital gains and dividends a little bit. You know, right on the front page is a little section called Making the Case for Tax Cut Permanency.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go on there and you click in that area, you'll see a series of reports that we've done on why it's important to make those 2001 and 2003 tax cuts permanent.
And it'll give you some good perspective, some good background, folks, on that will help you talk to your own delegation, your own elected representatives about this.
Oh, that's exactly what it's there for. I mean, it's very important. You know, small business owners have got to understand that they have a bigger voice than the average person, quite frankly. They own a business.
Right.
They have employees.
They're considered thought leaders and centers of influence to other voters like employees.
Oh, absolutely.
Not that an owner would try to impose their will on their employees, but it does seep through osmosis. I mean, you know, employees are not dummies. They know what keeps the doors open, what keeps the payroll checks coming. And typically, it's what the business owner is thinking about. So they know, these politicians know that. You know, Ray, one of the things I tell small business owners is either get involved in the debate, contribute to the debate, or take what policymakers give you and assume that you don't care.
Yeah, I understand it, and I'm sure you do too, that it's difficult. I mean, when you're running a business, how much time that takes
Absolutely.
Up, and of course you would like to spend some time with your family and things like that, but, you know, it doesn't, that's why we're here,
that's
you know,
right.
A group like us, where you can go to the website, you can get up to speed on some issues, and you know what, it makes a difference if you shoot your representatives an email, a quick telephone call, a letter. That makes a difference. They're politicians from
Our
the local
emails,
level all the way
have
up.
Emails gotten so ubiquitous and so easy that it's starting to turn around, and maybe a phone call is actually more effective? What do you think?
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. I think a phone call is always more effective. Although, you know, but I would not say don't.
But
send
when
an
you
email,
when you find that your representative or your senator is in your town, in your area, go where they are. Go to the town meeting and talk to them.
Oh yeah.
See, what I recommend, Ray, is that they find out what they've done good and bad about for small business, and congratulate them on the one, and tell them to do better on the other one.
That's absolutely right. Patterson.
Ray, I got 1 minute. Quick thoughts on tax reform. How are we doing on the other tax issues?
Well, let me just say, pat them on the back when they do well, because they don't get enough of that.
That's
so
right.
Give them positive reinforcement as
right.
well. The tax stuff is critical this month. We're trying to get the capital gains and dividend tax cuts made permanent. That's the ideal.
Right.
Unfortunately, Congress right now is talking about extending them just a couple more years. That's the big debate. Is it going to be 1 year? Is it going to be 2 years? So you got to look at that issue. Go to our website, get the latest on it, and as we said, you know, call, email, write your elected representatives.
Right. SBECouncil.org. That's the website, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And they can find your other columns at newsday.com, can't they?
Yeah, I'm everywhere, Jim.
Look for Ray. He's like the chicken man, folks. He's everywhere. Thanks, Ray, for being here. Good job today. Thanks for all you do for small business.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Ray Keating, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too, but it's going to be tomorrow. I got to go now, just for this hour. But before I do, I want to thank my heroes. You know who you are, small business owners. And you know that this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.